At Camp Creek, we've been going through the book of Acts, but I'm going to pause that series here. There's something different that I've been thinking about over the last week. Probably many of us have had different thoughts over the last week about all the events that have been taking place. What I want to talk to you about over the next couple of weeks is called This, Not That. What do I mean by this, not that? Well, we get told in all sorts of different ways that we should do one thing and not another. Let me give you a couple examples. We've had this pandemic that's going on, at least it's been termed that. And so we're told we need to do social distancing. We need to be at least 6 feet away from someone else. We need social distancing, not being like Olaf, who likes warm hugs. We're told that about our diet. We need to eat salads, not French fries. We're told we need to drink water and not soda. We're told we need to eat whole grains, not whole donuts. We're told this about our lifestyle, shopping. We're supposed to buy local, not from chain stores. We're told to get out and exercise, not sit on the couch watching Netflix all day long. We're told a lot about doing this and not that, but the Bible helps us know the practices that are important for all of our lives. The Bible is full of do this and not that. For instance, it tells us to seek after righteousness and not wickedness. Now I want to give a word of wisdom here. The Bible is God's word. It is the truth. Because it is the truth and it's God's word, it has the authority to tell it to us straight. It should be our first source to understanding the do this and not that circumstances in our lives. You see, God created us. God designed us. That means that God understands exactly how we were intended to relate, how we were intended to function, how we are intended to operate. But with that being said, let's get into God's word this morning. The passage I'd like for us to dive into is Psalm chapter 56. I encourage you to get out your copy of God's word. Maybe it's sitting on a shelf somewhere. Maybe it's sitting next to your bed. Wherever it is, get up off the couch. Go grab God's word. Open it up to Psalm chapter 56. All right, so we're going to read from Psalm chapter 56, verse 3. Verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Wait a second, you made me get up and go get my Bible just for one verse? Yes, I did. Because this verse has the answers for fear. If you'd like to take notes as we're going through this message, maybe you have a post-it note you can write on, or an envelope that's sitting there that has no importance to you, or whatever you have next to you, grab something to write on. And I want you to write a blank line, the word not, and then another blank line. Now in the second blank line, write the word fear. So we should say blank, not, fear. You see, fear is a reality in our lives. When I was growing up, I remember the t-shirts people used to wear with the slogan, "No fear." But fear is a part of all of our lives. We all have fears. Fears of snakes, fears of public speaking, fears of sharks, fears of spiders, fears of dying. Some of our fears are irrational. Some of our fears are very rational. I don't think any of us are exempt from some type of fear. Fear is an emotion evoked by perceived danger or threats. Fear at times can help protect us from danger. There's another verse that's similar to this one. It's just a few pages back in Psalm chapter 34. It says this, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears." The psalmist is recognizing that we have fears. The emotion of fear is very real. There's a phrase we repeat in our house pretty often. It's this: it's not bad to have emotions, but it's what we do with those emotions that's sometimes bad. I'll repeat that for you. It's not bad to have emotions, but it's what we do with those emotions is sometimes bad. So how could acting out our fears be bad? I don't know if you've gone to a grocery store lately and seen the empty shelves. I was in the store yesterday and toilet paper aisle is still pretty empty. Hand sanitizer is still gone. The disinfectant wipes, or maybe there's a few packages there. The meat, the poultry, everything is gone. If you're in the healthcare profession, people are swarming to get tested because they're afraid of what's going on. Maybe you found yourself this week, not in the boat of those two options, but you found yourself reading more and more about the coronavirus. You go on the CDC's website and try to find out the newest updates. You go on the state's website and you look at their little tracker. Where is the virus now? Has it gotten anywhere near our county? Is it here yet? Each of these is a response of fear. Our nation and many of you are struggling during our current situation with the coronavirus. I know that. Fear can cripple our lives if we allow it to. I saw a survey this week as I was doing some things online, and it asked the question, how concerned are you with the coronavirus? Here's the responses. 41% said they were very concerned. 39% said that they were somewhat concerned, and 20% said they weren't scared at all. Well, if you add the first two numbers up, very concerned and somewhat concerned, that's 80%. There have been over 260,000 people who'd answered that survey at that point. That's 4 out of every 5 people. If you're sitting there and there's 4 people in your living room, that means 4 out of 5 of you, if there's 5 of you sitting in your living room, 4 out of 5 of you could be concerned about what's going on with this virus. What's the alternative to fear? It's in our verse this morning, Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Repeat it out loud with me this morning. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Okay, you at home, you're not doing it. I can tell. Repeat it with me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. What should we do? What's our response to fear? Our response is trust in God. Earlier I had you write 2 blank lines with a knot in the middle. You put fear on the second one. Now I want you to write faith on the first line. Faith, not fear. We are to trust in God. Faith and trust are synonymous with one another. There's a time when Jesus went out into a boat with his disciples. Jesus fell asleep on the stern. Or for those maybe you don't know nautical terms, that's the back end of the boat. And something happened. Let's read our story. Turn with me over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. I'll give you just a second to get there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling up. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Wait a second, they probably didn't say it like that. They probably said, teacher, And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus was right there with them. Yet they weren't trusting in him. They weren't having faith in him. You know that Jesus is closer to you now than he was able to be to his disciples in that moment. He's closer to us now as we're going through the storms of life than he was in the backside of the boat. He just asked that we have faith in him. I want to illustrate faith with a couple examples this morning. I want to give you a little history reminder. I don't know how many of you remember, but in the 1950s, you probably got familiar with the phrase duck and cover. Duck and cover, if you were in school during that time, from the 50s, maybe the 60s, it was one of the possibilities, one of the responses they had to nuclear warfare. Students were to immediately find a spot of shelter if there was a major event. Many practiced literally ducking underneath their desks or putting their backs up against a wall with their knees into their chest. Many look back on that practice and realize a desk wouldn't have done a whole lot of good. But many of us look like that on the outside, or on the inside today, maybe some of us on the outside. We want a duck. We want to cover. We want to get underneath. We want to hide. But we're told to have faith. We're told to trust. We go running because of our fear. We end up paralyzed. We end up hiding. We end up imprisoned. We end up creating anxiety. When you're hiding under a chair, you're allowing your fear to control you. You're allowing your fear to control your actions. It's keeping you hidden and unable to be effective in your lives. Fear is controlling you. Well, what's the opposite of that? Instead of hiding under the chair, what should we be doing? What am I doing right now? Am I trusting? Do I have faith? Tested the chair earlier just so that I would definitely have faith in it. But I have faith in the chair. It's holding me. I'm trusting it. I'm not hiding under it. I'm not cowering. It's the difference between having fear and having faith. You understand that's what we're supposed to do with God. We're supposed to trust him. We're supposed to have faith in him. We're to place our complete trust and faith in him, and we're to give control over to him. All of us try to control our lives. We want to arrange our own schedules. We want to plan our meals. We want to make decisions for ourselves and our family, but the reality is we don't really have any control. We've seen that in the last week, that control is kind of a myth. All of us have given up things we didn't think we may ever have to give up. We've lost areas of control. I got an email this week that said this: we need to give up control and embrace the fact that the person who does have control is God. And he is ultimately far more capable of handling these situations than we will ever be. We need to have faith, not fear. You can begin to replace your fear with faith. When you start to be afraid, what do you need to do? You need to recognize your fear. Recognize the emotion that you're experiencing. Remember, emotions aren't bad. It's what you do with them. Here's what to do with the emotion of fear. Speak it out loud. Say it. Maybe you're sitting in your living room this morning and you are afraid. Maybe you need to pause this video and just say, you know what, I've been afraid this week. I've been afraid of the things that are going on. Maybe you're afraid that you won't be able to get food for your family. Maybe you're afraid you won't have enough money to pay the bills. Maybe you're afraid of getting sick. But just speaking your fears out loud helps you to process through them. Part of that is understanding, are your fears based in reality or are your fears based in fantasy? There's a different fear if there's a bear running after you than if you have this continual fear that a bear is going to break into your home tomorrow. One fear is based in reality. And with that fear, I'm probably going to pray and run. The other fear is not reality. I haven't seen bears around here. Maybe you have bears where you live, but there aren't really bears around here. It's not a fear I should have in my life. It's a fantasy. So we need to speak those out loud and realize, are they a reality or are they a fantasy? Secondly, we need to pray. We don't just need to speak it out to others, but we need to pray about those fears. Address them to God, because why? He is the one who's really in control. He is the one that we need to stand on. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We need to pray. We need to tell the one who has control all over all of everything what we're concerned about. Finally, we need to trust. We need to recognize whatever you're facing today, tomorrow, God is the one who has control over everything. He's right there. He is trustworthy. He's in the same boat as you are. His character has proved itself over and over again. We can read that through Scripture. I have examples in my life. Maybe you have examples in your life. There's three other verses I want to read to you this morning. You don't need to turn there. But Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where is God during fear? The psalmist writes, you are with me. The verse we looked at earlier, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. When was I delivered from my fears? After I sought the Lord. Finally, Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 9. If anyone had something to fear, Joshua did. He was about to enter a foreign land. He was going to do battle with these large fortified cities. And when they came back the first time and gave a report about these cities, they came back with some great fruit. But they also came back and said, we look like locusts compared to them. We're about this big. We're little. Joshua had something to fear, but what did God tell him? Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When are we not supposed to be afraid? When God is with us. You see, if you begin to feel afraid, we need to address those fears to God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. He He's a very present help in troubled times. We need to speak those fears out loud. We need to pray about those fears. And we need to give God our complete trust. Because God's got this. Would you pray with me? Father, it's hard sometimes not to be afraid. It's hard sometimes to have these situations in our lives that cause us anxiety, cause us fear, cause us to be paralyzed or imprisoned. But you give us faith. Faith to trust in you. Faith to rely on you. Faith to worship you, even in the midst of the storms, even in the midst of the difficult times, even in the midst when it seems like there's only bad things happening, you are there. We cry out to you, Lord, save us. Lord, rescue us from our fears. Release the shackles of our bondage from our fears. And give us boldness as we go through this time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.